The Sri Ramana Gita of B.V. Narasimha Swami, Part 9. While B.V. Narasimha Swami was residing in Sri Ramanashramam, around the year 1930, he took up the project of recasting Ganapati Muni's Sri Ramana Gita in its original conversational form. For a full introduction to this recently discovered manuscript, see the July-August 2009 issue of the Maharishi newsletter. In the present issue, we continue with the next three chapters found in the manuscript. Chapter 13, Women and Self-Realization, Chapter 14, Jivan Mukti, and Chapter 15, What are Shravana, Manana, and Nididhyasana? Chapter 13, Women and Self-Realization. On the 21st of August 1917, Kavyakanta Ganapati Sastri approached Maharishi to solve the following two doubts arising in the mind of Visalakshi, his wife, who had gone through Taravidya and Pancha Dashachari Mantra Japa and other spiritual courses. Question 1. If a woman has attained self-realization and finds further stay as a member of a domestic circle a hindrance, can she, consistent with the sastras, leave home and all and become a sannyasini or hamsini? Maharishi, for those who are fully ripe in self-realization, there is no gender bar as to the assumption of sannyasa ashrama in the sastras. Question 2. When such a lady is a jivan mukta, that is, released from bondage while in the flesh, and in that condition throws off her mortal coil, how should her body be dealt with? By cremation or by burial? Maharshi, there is no difference between the sexes with respect to the attainment of jnana, realization, or mukti, release from bondage. A female jivan mukta's body should not be cremated, for a jnani's body is a tabernacle of the divine. Whatever objections are urged against the cremation of a male jnani apply with equal force to the cremation of a female jnani's body. Chapter 14, Jivan Mukti. On the night of the same day, 21-8-1917, Venkatesa Sasriyar came to Skandashramam and requested Maharishi to explain fully the state of Jivan Mukti, that is, release from bondage while yet in the flesh. Maharishi, Jivan Mukta is a person who, while yet in the flesh, has realized the Atman and continues firmly in that state of realization unaffected by the vasanas arising either from books or contact with the world. Realization is only one. There is no difference in it. And freedom from bondage is also one and the same, alike for one who casts off the body and for the one who retains the body. It is the latter, however, who is referred to by the term Jivan Mukta. The scriptures say that such realized or blessed souls are found in Satyaloka. But in the matter of realization, that is, inner experience, there is no difference between the inhabitants of the Satyaloka and the Jivan Mukta, nor is the experience of the self-realized one who has cast off his body and become one with Brahman different from that of the above two. All these three are equally free from bondage and equal in their realization of the self. Salvation, mukti, is the same, though to one with fixed ideas of difference, the experience may appear to be different in the above three cases. The scriptures say that the Jivan Mukta's Jiva, ego, is absorbed into Brahman even on this earth. When the Jivan Mukta continues his tapas and it becomes mature, after some time, he thereby develops several siddhis. Some develop the power to overcome the density in their body, which thereafter ceases to be a matter for touch. Their bodies cease to be of dense material and become aerial, or like a flame of light, and are known as pranavakara, that is, of the form of pranava, om. Yet others lose even that degree of substantiality and overcome even the rupa, form, rasa, taste, gandha, smell, etc., nature of the original human frame, and become pure chinmaya, thought bodies. These siddhis may be attained very quickly in respect of the bodies by favor of the gods. There is no superiority or inferiority amongst the self-realized to be inferred from the possession or non-possession of such siddhis. The self-realized one is always free, mukta. Such freedom or mukti is attained by the wise one who passes from his sushumna nadi in the upward path by the archinadi margam. By the light of wisdom emanating there, mukti is attained. By the grace of the Lord, the upasaka whose mind is matured by yoga attains this excellent nadi dwara gati. To him comes the power of traversing all worlds at pleasure, entering into any body at pleasure, and granting all boons to anyone at pleasure. Some say that Kailasam, the seat of Shiva, is the place to which released souls go. Others say it is Vaikuntham, the abode of Vishnu. Yet others say it is Suryamandalam, the orb of the sun. All these worlds to which these released souls go are as real and substantial as this world is. They are all created within the Swarupa by the wonderful power of Shakti. Chapter 15. What are Shravana, Manana and Nididhyasana? 22.8.1912. Kavyakanta. Pray, sir, what are Shravana, Manana and Nididhyasana? Maharishi, these terms have several meanings, each to some extent derived from or connected with the other. Take Shravana first. According to some, it is only the hearing of scriptural texts, Vedavakya, with adequate explanation, Vyakhyana, from a guru, which constitutes Shravana. But others disregard this and say, even if what is taught is not the text from the Vedas or a comment thereon, but is couched in the vernacular, it is still Shravanam. If one, the guru that imparts instruction, is himself self-realized, and two, if his words throw light, that is, teach self-realization, you may take it that A, whether listening to the Guru's recital of scriptural texts or to the Guru's own words or otherwise, by merit acquired in previous births, B, or if the voice is heard within and an idea is formed in your mind that the underlying truth or root of the I idea or idea of personality is not the body, then truly you have had Shravanam. Above all, Note the fact that shravanam is not the mere falling of sound on the ears. It involves paying attention to atmavichara, inquiry into the self. Then let us take manana. Some say manana is sastrartha vichara or inquiry into the import or effect of sastras, scripture. Well, it is more correct to note what is essential and say that manana is devoting the mind to atmavichara, that is, inquiry into the self. Finally, let us consider what is nididhyasana. Some say that a thorough knowledge of Brahman or Atman is nididhyasana, provided only that that knowledge be free from doubt and not conflict with the sastras. This definition, however, will fit in even for a bare intellectual grasp of the subject mentioned, even though it may be unattended by realization. Mere study of the unity of Jiva and Ishvara from the sastras does not ensure realization, even if it be free from doubt or delusions, such as I am the body and these phenomena are real, etc. The mere study of hundreds of sastras will not remove doubt and delusion. No doubt, these sastras, studied with faith, do remove such doubt and delusion, but such removal is not permanent, as faith often weakens and the man begins to waver. It is only realization that can ensure a rooting out, that is, the permanent removal of these obstacles of doubt and delusion. When the mind or jiva goes through various outside experiences, even by exploring hundreds of sastras without realizing and staying in the Atman, one does not obtain what is styled aparoksha jnana, that is, self-illumination directly released. If, however, one has obtained such realization, then one gets sakshatkara, or immediate knowledge of the self, and that is moksha. That is the highest nishtha.